I had shin splints, if you've ever had them, they're painful. So I was running a race. A couple miles in a race, it got painful, it started to hurt. Every step hurts. Every time you go down that right leg, it hurt. And so I was deciding what to do, and I finally came to a point. We were on a ball field, and I sat down, and I quit. And as I sat there, all the runners that were behind me, that was only a couple, they kept passing me by. Now, that happened over 40 years ago, but to this very day, it bothers me because I must say, in all honesty, that I quit. Still bothers you. Think it over, right? And in my mind today, you know how this works. I've still got the place on the ball field. I know the exact spot that I sat down. I know exactly what it looks like because it made that big impression on me, the fact that I had to say that I quit. This morning, Brother Charles Maples, many of you know him, Red Bay area many years, now down in Elon. 91 years old in June, still preaching the gospel. If he hadn't changed here in the last few months, every other Sunday, he'd drive from Huntsville down to Gunnersville, about 45 miles, to preach the gospel. Now, unlike what I did, Brother Charles has not quit. Brother Charles is still pressing on. Talking over there during a meeting with Ralph about his mother, Sister Gray. She died when she was 77. Shortly before she died, she commented one day that, well, I've got to go home and fix some greens to take to the old folks out of nursing home. If you knew her, you knew that was characteristic of her. What she was intent on doing and what Charles Maple was intent on doing was to finish the course. David Hartzell, in our meeting, referred two or three times or more to his illness. David has cancer, as many of you might know, some may not. He has reached a critical juncture in his life at more than one time in his life where he didn't know if he would live or not. And so David continues in his life to work to finish a course because he realizes there's work that God still has for him to do. So as I think about these and others that we could talk about this morning, it's incumbent upon each of us to never give up, to never quit, but to always finish the course. To that end, I want to look with you this morning for the next few minutes at a very simple sermon, at a very simple text that we're familiar with, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning there in verse 6. Paul said, "For I'm already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." How many times have you read that? This morning, I want us to be impressed with this particular passage and what it says. Paul makes the affirmation that I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Elsewhere in his writings, there are cautions. The one in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "But the Spirit says expressly that in latter days some shall fall away from the faith." And so here is the Spirit giving warning that there would be those among God's people who would not finish the course. The warning in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that we ought to give the more earnest heed, lest happily we drift away. So certainly the New Testament is filled with warnings to us that we must be resolved to finish the course. Paul says that I have fought a good fight. If you turn back one page in your New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." Perhaps one chapter later, as Paul writes the epistle, he's still reflecting on the same concept. Paul considered himself to be in a fight he considered himself to be a soldier. And so to finish the course as a Christian, we must consider ourselves as soldiers. We must consider ourselves to be in a fight. And we must have resolve to finish that fight. And then he says, I finished the course. 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, even so, run that ye may attain. Prior to that, he says that there are many that run, but only one attains the prize. So Paul's message to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is that we run that we may attain the prize. The only way that we can attain the prize is to finish the course. There is never a ribbon given to anyone who does not finish the race. And Paul certainly recognized that. And Paul, as he is about to be offered up, about to leave his life, he simply says that I have finished the course. And then he says, importantly, I've kept the faith. We not only run the race, but Paul would have us to know that we've got to run the race lawfully. Again in verse 5, and if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except he have contended lawfully. And so we're encouraged to run the race of life, to finish the course, and we're encouraged to keep the faith, which means we've got to run lawfully. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, a passage that we're familiar with. Turn back here just a moment. We'll have a couple of references to that this morning. 7 verse 6, 26, I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I, as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. He echoes his own words, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, when he says, therefore let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul took his own advice and lived his own advice. He said, while I'm running this course, running this race as a soldier, he said, I'm going to buffet my body, I'm going to bring it into subjection lest I myself might quit, or that I myself might be this castaway. And so with these few verses, we understand what Paul is saying when he says, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Well, the course was not always easy for Paul. Now, there were some difficulties. Look with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read this particular passage here. It's difficult for us to relate to the suffering of Paul. That's why I want to read this passage. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes of measure and deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, there is that which presses upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. So we can truly say that Paul's course was not easy. I relate to that, my shin splints were nothing. When I think about what Paul had to endure to finish the course, and yet Paul was intent upon not quitting. Paul was intent upon bringing his body into subjection. Paul was intent upon finishing the course of finishing that race. In Philippians chapter 3, we come down to verse 12 of that chapter. Paul says, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on. Appreciate the song Harold led this morning, his first song. I press on. Looking into Jesus, I press on. Now that Paul sentiment here, you can almost see Paul's mind as he sees himself. Here he is running this race. And as he runs the race, there are difficulties that he encounters. There are encumbrances, but Paul says, I press on toward the goal and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded, and if anything Ye be otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. So we're encouraged by Paul's word. We understand the importance of having this sentiment where we've got to press on. If we finish the course, there will never come a time in our life when we can lay back and take it easy. It just doesn't work that way. And so to finish a course, we must be as Paul, we must press on. One of my favorite characters in the entire Bible that very little is said about. And yet, as you look at the book of Revelation, there's so much said about a man named Antipas. We know from our study of that book that there were many Christians who were put to death during that period of time in the first century, as that book tells us. God, by inspiration and in His wisdom, gave us a name of one such Christian. That's Antipas. Living in the city of Pergamum, where Satan's throne was. And the Bible simply says that Antipas, my fate, my witness, my faithful one, was killed among you. And so Antipas was one of our brethren, who had to resolve that he was going to finish the course. But the course for him was not an easy one. He made that decision, life or death. And for him, he accepted death. Likewise, his brethren, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. John saw under the altar the souls that had been slain for the word of God, and they cried, how long until our blood be avenged? God's response in that passage is, not yet. He said, not until others of your brethren shall be killed, even as they have been killed. And so here were others in that period of time who were put to death because they were intent upon running that course. We see pictured before us the resolve it's going to take for you and I to finish the course. Young people, to finish the course of life as a Christian, you've got to be like Antipas. You've got to be like Paul. You've got to have an undying resolve that no matter what comes in life, I am going to finish the course. Don't look back at life and realize that you quit. Another one of my favorite characters, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament. They had a difficult road. There was that fiery furnace awaiting them that you young people talked about in your studies. And they said that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. And so we take our resolve, we couple with that faith, and that enables us to run successfully the course of life. And one day have that crown of life. There's a couple things that all of these understood. I want to note two passages with you. Turn first of all to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have up on the screen here. Let's read this together. Now, this is something that Antipas understood. This is something that the Apostle Paul understood. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. We have those here this morning who are aged. Without defining what aged is, you know you're here this morning. You know you have difficulties. We have those in the audience this morning who have illnesses. Sister Barbara here this morning. It takes extra effort. Now, some of these were here during our meeting, morning services, evening services. They understand this. And I think they're encouraged by this. I had an aunt that died when she was 95, and she was encouraged by this. It seemed that each day that she grew older in her older years, her faith grew stronger. But she became more and more anxious to leave this life. She understood what Paul's saying, that though the outward body decays, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One thing I've noted in life, as I've gotten older, is that eternity becomes a little easier to see on the horizon. And I believe that's as it ought to be. If we as Christians reach our 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we see that our faith is weakening as opposed to growing stronger, we have a real concern. Because I truly believe, as we look at passages like this, what Antipas, what Paul, and what others understood, is that no matter what this life brings us, even age with its difficulties, we look more and more at what Paul describes as that eternal weight of glory. Paul says, I press on. He knew what was on the other side. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that eternal weight of glory was there waiting for him. And so this morning, we need that resolve. Today, next year, in whatever days come in our life, we need that resolve that we're going to press on. That no matter what happens, we're going to finish the course. That we will not stand before God, excuse me, on judgment, knowing we sat down at the edge of the ball field and there's judgment day and we have to say, I quit. Another passage, look with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. We're in greater rejoice, so now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that to prove your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Harold led us all a moment ago when all of God's singers get home. That's the time we just sang about. Jesus coming then. Marvel not at this, the hour cometh. When all that enter the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. There's no denying this. This is what Antipas understood and what Paul understood. This morning, the scriptures would encourage us to start the course and don't look back. Reference made in the book of Luke in teaching of Jesus about Lot's wife. In fact, the context is about God bringing judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And so once we start the race, we learn from Lot's wife, Jesus tells us, don't look back. You press on. You keep your eye on that prize that's out before us. I think a sad statement in the New Testament is when Paul simply states, as a matter of fact, that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Here one we see from other Bible references who was a fellow laborer of Paul. Here was one who was a companion of Paul in his work. But here's one who did what I did. He started the course, and then he sat down, and he just quit. And what a sad thing that is. Sitting here this morning, we all know of those who have done that. They started out well. They were running the race well. They got far along in the race, and then they simply quit. Jesus says, once you start this race, he said, don't look back. He said in Luke 9, verse 62, he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So those fit for the kingdom of God are those who are resolved and have the determination to finish the course. One fit for the kingdom of God is not one who keeps looking back, thinking about how hard and how difficult this path might be. There are some of you probably older than me who have chopped cotton or chopped beans in your lifetime. I did that in West Tennessee with my uncle back many, many years ago. I was about 12, 13 years old. And he got way ahead of me on his row because what did I do? I'd look back and I'd see that long row. And I kept on looking at the length of the row and how far I had to go. I kept looking back. Jesus said, don't do that. If you're of an age you're going to look back, he said, you're not even fit for the kingdom of God. Well, we ask this question, why does some not finish a course? I think we can go to one passage, and that is in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, to find the answer. He said, first of all, those by the wayside are they that have heard, then come with the devil and take away the word in their heart, that they might not believe and be saved. Some won't finish the course because the devil's going to come and going to take the word from their heart. That's why Psalm 19:11 is such an important passage. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Satan will try to come, and he'll try to take that word out of our heart. God's word is that means of guidance and direction and strength and encouragement that we need to finish the course. What Satan is going to try to do is come and to take that word out of our heart, thus taking our faith away from us. But that's why some will not finish this course. And then there are those in the rock, when they have heard, received the word with joy, and have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. How many have fallen away? Most of us look only to our families to see those who have fallen away. We look to friends who have fallen away. And so when temptation comes, many just sit down and quit because we're overcome the temptations. And then there are those who fell among the thorns. There are those that have heard. As they go on the way, they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. So I think when we look at the parable of the sower, it's pretty easy to understand why it is that some do not finish the course. This morning you and I can learn we're still running the race. We can learn this morning that we ought not be beset by these things. Again, back to the first song that Jesus said, that Harold led, we're looking to Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You know, the course was not easy for him. He left heaven, came to earth. He endured the cross and he despised shame. And so the course for our Lord was not easy. And yet in John 17, we'll make this point before we go to John 17. I will say there is an easy way out of life. We talk about how we're going to leave life. There is an easy way out. We read in Luke 16 about a rich man. It says, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So there is an easy way out of this life. But it's not a good way. Because if we do not finish a course, if we lose our faith, if we're covered with temptations, if we're burdened down with life, this will be our destiny. Verse 12, verse 2, it says, you sit down at the right hand of God. First John 17, verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, I glorify thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. Jesus says, I finished the course. So he says to his Father, I've done exactly what you gave me to do. He said, now glorify me with the glory with thine own self, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And I think the lesson from this passage in Hebrews 12 is for the joy that was set before him. This morning we ask ourselves a question. How great is our joy? Do we share the joy of the Lord? Do we share His faith? Are we like Antipas? Are we like Paul? Are we resolved this morning to finish the course? In this same passage, Paul says, I'm already being offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. But here's the rest of the verse. Henceforth there laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. That was what allowed Paul to press on. Not to me only, but unto all of them also that have loved his appearing. That's what motivated Paul to press on. You and I have a choice to make today and tomorrow and the rest of the days of our life. And that choice is whether or not we're going to finish the course. There's an easy way out. Don't take it that way. The first man took that way, the Bible said, to lift up his eyes, being in torment. Here's a point about a Christian. There's a lesson, David, a week ago, many others at this pulpit. Now, this morning, start the race. You'll never finish a course unless you start. This morning, resolve to start running this race. For those of us who are Christians, the goal of blessed this morning is to encourage us to be resolved to finish the course. May each of us leave this morning with a stronger resolve to finish the course. Be here, and you need to make a life right with God once we come as we stand and sing.